We're in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at Christ's teaching on prayer. And it's the Christian's vital breath. It's the very heartbeat of a gospel church. And Jesus is addressing those two areas. Prayer by the individual believer, because we have the singular you here in this section. But also prayer for the church. He uses the plural you as well, and that comes out very much in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. We spent some time looking at the principles and then working through the Lord's Prayer. Motive is all important. When we pray individually, when we pray as a church, we're not praying to each other. And sometimes there's fear, maybe in a prayer meeting, well, if I pray, I might stumble over the words. People might think bad things about me. Irrelevant. As I prayed tonight, and I was thinking of a hymn that came to my mind, and shut in with thee, far, far above the restless world that was below. Now, individually or collectively, when we pray to our Father, not to each other. We're addressing him. And if it's a public prayer meeting, everybody is in rapt attention. And at the end comes a vigorous and a robust amen, because the people are in agreement. They've been thinking through the words. And instead of the damp squib of a at the end, there's a real amen that comes. And that's an encouraging thing. Unless we disagree with what the brother or the sister was praying, then there might be something of a silence. But you know, the Holy Spirit can take those prayers and perfect them before the Father in the merits of the Son. So it's all about prayer, the Christian's vital breath, the very heartbeat of a gospel church. And the motive is there. We pray not to each other, but to our Father. It's a relationship. Don't keep on babbling like the pagans do. They think they'll be heard for their many words. Your Father knows what you need before you ask it. So why ask? It's a relationship. And we love to be speaking with our Father and then hear him speak back to us through the Word and by the Spirit. We've thought about many examples of prayer, but supremely the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. His routines and his habits, and up while it's still dark and praying all night and seeking the Lord before a major decision and giving him thanks after things have happened as well. His life was a life of prayer. It inspired a question from the disciples: Lord, teach us to pray. And in Luke, we have the Lord's Prayer there. When you pray, say. And here in Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, this then is how you should pray. And it's a model, so it's not wrong to repeat the Lord's Prayer, and occasionally we do that here, but supremely here we have a model. How do I pray? What do I pray for? How do I start? What's in the middle? How do I finish a prayer? Well, here it is. There's an outline. We begin with God. Begin with God. Who I pray to? My Father, who is in heaven. And that great tension, intimacy, Father, a God nearby, transcendence, the incomprehensibility of God. He's beyond our sounding out. We sang a hymn this morning. He's an ocean without a shore. He's a sun without a sphere. And we begin, but we never end. And in eternity, we'll never end sounding the depths of the amazing being of God, being of beings, triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have the privilege of addressing him as our Father, an intimacy, and yet I must understand who I'm coming to. We're doing this Behold Your God course. It's proving very challenging and very helpful. We're in it again later in the year. For those who can't do it on a Saturday morning, we'll keep on offering this as long as it's needed. But one point that has been made is this. So often our thoughts of God are so low and so beneath the real God. He's not a God we want to pray to. He's just not worth praying to. Why don't we pray? Why do we struggle in prayer? Well, maybe we have such low views of God, we really don't see the worth in addressing him. But Jesus wants to put that right at the start. He's our Father. He is in heaven, but we spent quite some time on that last week. We begin really in prayer with meditation, thinking, and not meditation on an object like an orange, as some people think about it, or hug a tree. It's meditation on the being of God. Get into focus who God is. Begin to bring our minds and calm our souls. Maybe a psalm read as we approach personal prayer is a good thing. Psalm 104, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will rejoice, I will be glad in the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Begin with meditation on God. Then we move on to the petitions, six of them. And around those six petitions we build our prayers. And there's nothing we could pray for that wouldn't be included under one of these categories. So it's a help. When we begin with God, Father in heaven. And then these six petitions, if they begin with God, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, glorified, honoured. Now God is not glorified. He's mocked, he's ridiculed. But God will not be mocked. Men will answer. And the time is coming when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And the time is drawing nearer, not farther away. And it'll happen when Christ returns and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But we can pray, we should pray. Lord, things aren't what they ought to be and your name is dragged through the mud and you are ridiculed. Oh, hallowed be your name. And his name, of course, is the same as his being, his persons, his character. Thy kingdom come. We come into intercessory prayer. Thy kingdom come. We thought about that last week. In depth, in individual Christians, what do I pray under this heading? Lord, may your kingdom come more to me. I'm not what I ought to be. Besetting sins, willful sins, sins of commission, sins of omission. Lord, make me more and more what I ought to be. And your people here at St. Melan's Baptist Church, may we grow in depth, the grace, the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. Thy kingdom come. Depth, breadth, thy kingdom come in conversions. High on our list here, and a burden and real prayers for the lost. Children, young people, oldsters, those who come occasionally, those who come frequently, the wider family, people we meet in our neighbourhood, how do we contact people? Lord, may your kingdom come increasingly to St. Melan's and the environs. Depth, breadth, length, finally, eternally, thy kingdom come. Maranatha, even come, Lord, come quickly, Lord, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we live in such a way that we hasten the day. I think we're looking at that this coming, or you will be, I'm away, this coming Wednesday. I think that's one of the verses that will be addressed, that we live in such a way that we hasten the coming of the Lord. Of course, the Lord will not come until the last of the Lord's people has believed. So are you holding up the return of Christ here tonight? Today is a day of salvation. Today is the day to believe. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. It can happen now. You know enough. A cry from your heart now, right where you are sitting, to the God who is closer than your breath. Now, tonight, essentially, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or using the New International Version, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the section I want to think about for a little while this evening. What do we pray in this area here. I've gone through the Lord's Prayer. I've come to this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not going to God with a shopping list. It is relational. God is in supreme control. God has his will. His will is never deflected. He never changes his mind. He has his sovereign will. Prayer is not imposing my will on God. Prayer is not, banish the thought, twisting the arm of God to bring him into conformity with what I want. That's a very childish view. Children look to do that. And sadly, very often, maybe children get their way because the parents want a bit of peace and quiet, so they give in. God is not like that. God is not like that. When I pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it is me yielding to his will. It is me knowing the will of God in such a way that I can pray things in this category. Your will be done. Often at the end of a prayer, and it's not wrong, we would say, great spiritual truth, in Jesus' name, amen. That's not some sort of magic incantation that we shake over a prayer. I prayed this prayer, I'm not sure, but let's add this as a little mechanism to twist God's arm. It's nothing like that. Real prayer is when I've spent time with God in his word, listening to sermons, reading, studying in such a way that my mind is fully conformed to the will of God. I'm absorbing, I'm soaking in all that God is and all that he will do. I bring my will into conformity with the will of God, that my will is conformed to his in such a way I can say, I'm praying this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perspective again is all important. He's my Father. He is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. God, who is in heaven, he knows everything. Not only does he know everything, he is all wise. Knowledge is one thing. What is wisdom? Correct application of knowledge. It's one thing to know something. It's quite another thing to apply that knowledge in the best possible way. That is God. He knows all things. He's the all-wise God. And linked with his knowledge and wisdom is power to accomplish that which he desires. To know the correct way, and then to have the power and the ability. Or the will of God. So what we're praying here, that God's will be done. And not our will. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, he says this: my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's the agenda of Jesus Christ? It's to do the will of him who sent me. My Father in heaven, your will be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, have that agonizing prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, going a little farther, he, as Jesus, fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. The will of God will not always be easy. It's not give me this because I'm having a bad time. It's your will be done. Maybe that this difficult time is going to achieve the best end for your glory and for my spiritual good. So lead on, Lord. Your will be done. That's why I chose that hymn of Horatius Bonner. Were we courageous enough to sing it? Or did we go on autopilot, just borne along by the tune? Is this the way that we pray? Thy way, not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, lead me by thine own hand. Choose out the path for me. See, prayer in this area is not, give me this, give me that. Lord, what is your will? Lead, Lord Jesus, my frail spirit. Lead on, Lord. Smooth let it be, or rough, it will be still the best. Now I choose the smooth way, the downhill way, or certainly the plateau, but what about the uphills and the ruggedness? Smooth let it be, or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it leads right onward to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. Now think now, if you could actually, if prayer was God is a slot machine, just in Jesus' name, amen. Gimme, 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 gimme. Where would we be? Where would we be? Well, Bourne has learnt this. I dare not choose my lot. How about this one? I would not if I might. So, okay, you take the levers now of your life. God would grant that. I would not. I would not. I'm not going to take the steering wheel. Not even going to be the passenger seat. Put me in the trunk, in the boot. Slam the lid down. Drive on. I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, my God, so I shall walk aright. The kingdom that I seek is thine. It's his. His kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So let the way that leads to it be thine. Else I must surely stray. It's his kingdom. Lead on, Lord. Take thou my cup. The cup. Here's my life. Take thou my cup and it. This is a daring prayer. Now what would you fill your cup with? Joy or sorrow? What would you have? If you had the levers, you had the steering wheel, what would you choose? Here's your life. Here's your cup. Do you want a happy life? Is Christianity all about, happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess? Is that what it's all about? Take thou my cup and it with joy or sorrow fill. You know, there's some saints whose lives just seem to be sorrow upon sorrow. But you know, in a few billion years from now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, lost in wonder, love and praise. I mean, 1,000 years from now, can you think of 1,000 years from now? You know, time is gathering apace, isn't it? I mean, how quickly Christmas has come around for me now. And time is racing on, the sand is dropping quicker and quicker, and yeah, 1,000 years. Well, the oldest man to have lived on planet Earth was Methuselah. 969, I think, wasn't he? It's a good Sunday school question. Yeah, 969. No man's reached 1,000 on planet Earth. But what's 1,000 years in heaven? It's nothing. 10,000 years. It's nothing. Now, whatever our lot might be here, all that matters is the glory of God. That people will come to know him, that sinners will be saved, that God will be glorified. It's going to happen one day. The earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Oh, take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill. As best to thee may seem, choose thou my good and ill. How about this one? Choose thou for me my friends. I'm going to have him for my friend. I'm going to have her for my friend. And the Lord might think, well, you're not very strong. You sure you can stand those influences? Or I'll be a good witness. You really? I know what's best for you. Listen to me, my child. Listen to me. choose thou for me my friends. My sickness or my health, well, what would I choose? Choose thou my cares for me, my poverty or wealth. Not mine the choice. In things or great or small, be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. Well, there it is. Thy will be done. But what is God's will? Let's start here. Let's break it down. I've got 15 minutes left, 5 minutes, three little points here. Thy will. Thy will. Well, what is the will of God? Well, here it is. We've got God's general will for us. I want to know how I should conduct myself. Lord, here's the day before me. I sit down, my cup of coffee, my prayer time, maybe I've read a psalm, I've gone through J.C. Ryle's daily readings, whatever. I come to pray, oh, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, bless us, save little Johnny and deepen reality in me. Your will be done. Well, here's God's general will, the word of God. Now, if I'm to pray well, I need to know God's word well, because his will is revealed here. Colossians 3 and verse 16, good advice, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalm 119, full of pointers to God's word and its effect. Your word is a lamp to my feet. The entrance of your word brings light to my pathway. Know God's word, his general will. But more than that, more than just knowing God's word, just to know God's word, I become an arrogant, proud know-all. Well, I know this, I know that. Knowledge puffs up. As well as knowing God's word, I need to know the God of God's word. The point of the word is to lead me to God. Beyond the sacred page, seek the Lord. It's why I chose this hymn, 124. It brings something of this out. I don't only want to know his will, I need to know him. Thy will be done. What notion do you have of God? I have to know the real God. Not just the precept, but to know him. Thou art the King of mercy and of grace, reigning omnipotent in every place. So come, O King, and our whole being sway, thy will be done. Shine on us with the light of thy pure day. Here's the Spirit moving through the word, being brought to him, not to a precept, not to a law, but to reality, actually to him. Listen to this verse. Thou, God, hast the true and perfect gentleness. No harshness hast thou, and no bitterness. Oh, grant to us the grace we find in thee, that we may dwell in perfect unity. Oh, I've got the will of God. It's this. We should do this in the church. Well, I don't think that. I think we should do this and the ding-dong and a Punch and Judy show. Certainly not. No, stop. It's not God. Unity, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Reverse. Stop. Reverse. Wrong God. God of our imaginations. It's not a battle of our wills. It's knowing his will. What is his will? So we have the word, his general revealed will. More than that, we need to know the God of the word. But what about particular things? Particular things. See, the Bible doesn't tell me who I should marry. Although it says it ought to be, if I'm a believer, it ought to be a believer. It's very, very clear. And not just somebody who's just about a believer. I mean, I myself ought to be not just a believer, but plunging into the depths of this shoreless ocean, this sphere without an edge. And so the one I should marry ought to be burning with zeal for the Lord. But who's it going to be? Because still, if it's somebody who's on fire for the Lord, there's three or four in Britain maybe you could choose from. Which one's it going to be? It probably is as bad as that. three or four, won't be many. Who's it going to be? You know, one good piece of advice is to make yourself the person who someone else could marry. Be as godly as you can be. It's the best way to be in the centre of the will of God. But who am I? Which university do I go to? Well, I think I'd like to go to this one here or this one. This is best for this, and I'm going to do this course. What about the will of God? Is there any room for the will of God? Where do I live? Which church do I go to? Well, I think I'll go to this church here, or that one there. But I don't like the pews there. They've got comfier this or that, and the heating's better there, and the lights are brighter, and they've got a little band, and they've got... What about the will of God? Has he got anything to say? And which book do I look at? Well, I'm sorry, there won't be chapter and verse. Which job do I do? Which house do I buy? How many children do we have? Where's the will of God in these things? You will not find it in the Bible. Ah, but you will find it in the Bible. But more than the Bible. We make ourselves the people who are so close to God that he reveals things to us. Things that we're not going to find written chapter and verse. We make ourselves the people who just want to please him. Who with all our hearts want to serve him. Tozer's got a lovely little book. We'd recommend you a few of them. But one has the title, it just comes to me now. God tells the man who cares. And the whole emphasis of the book is that guidance. There's some things you won't find in the Word of God specifically. So the specific things, draw near to God. So that he speaks to your soul. He'll use the principles of the Bible. Never will he go. He won't be suspending his law. He won't be saying, well, rob a bank, if it's okay, I'll suspend that law, or take this, or no, he won't, but he'll be according to his word, but particular things. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. God's two angels, the Lord Jesus Christ at Theophany, and two angels appear to Abraham. Then the Lord said, Genesis 18:17, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? And of course he doesn't. He goes on and tells Abraham what he's about to do. He lets him into the secret of his heart. Isaiah chapter 30. Israel had been very stubborn and very wayward, and yet the Lord longed to be gracious to Israel. In chapter 30 and verse 19, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he, that's God, will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. All this area, your will be done. And we come to those crucial moments. Do I change job? Do I move house? Someone gave me some wonderful advice many years ago. Let me repeat it here. It's very, very true. May God keep you and I from ever making a major life decision while we're backsliding or on a plateau. Oh God, may those points come where I'm on the up and seeking you and never seeking me and what I want. May it truly be your will be done. Your will be done. Oh, there's the will of God. That was 8 minutes on that one. Your will be done. Now, it's one thing to know the will of God, but it's not just enough to know it. I need to do it. I need to do it. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Thy will be done. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26. Forgotten what this says? Let's have a look. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. Yes, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Think about salvation again. Do you know what you need to do to be saved? Now, not to do it is very, very foolish. And one day that sand will suck you right down. Don't harden your heart. Repent, believe, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. All has been accomplished. And then keep on knowing the will of God and then doing the will of God. Do it. We might think, but I lack power. Now here's a dilemma. To know the good you should do and not to do it is sin. James 4, I think it's verse 18. To know the good you should do and not to do it is sin. But I find myself so weak. He is strong. Abide in me, says Jesus Christ, through the means of grace. Seeking me, not just the word, beyond the page, seek me. Abide in me, I will abide in you. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, the opposite of that is, of course, with him we can do everything. Paul makes that great, great statement. Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So he'll show me his will, general and particular. My heart desires to do his will. If I'm close to him, he'll then give us the power to accomplish his will. Another wonderful hymn here. 626. Enthrone thy God within thy heart. Make him king. King of my life, I crown thee now. Put him on the throne. He'll be there one day. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. Put him there willingly because of who he is. And because of all he's done. My response, the decent response, put him where he ought to be. Give him his due. He's king. He's Lord. Omnipotent. Creator of the heavens and the earth. Beyond our imagination, incomprehensible in his power, in his glory, his holiness, his will, his perfection. Enthrone thy God within thy heart, thy being's inmost shrine. He doth to thee the power impart to live the life divine. Now, if you and I say, well, I know I really ought to be, because there it is, the principles in the Word of God, the Spirit impresses upon me, but I find I don't have the power to do it, then I have to think and conclude, probably then you're not a believer. Probably you're not a believer. If that's your habitual disposition, I know what I ought to be doing, I find no power to do it, woe is me, yet woe is you. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're terribly backslidden, come back to him. Come back to him. Enthrone your God within your heart, your being's inmost shrine, because he doth to thee the power impart to live the life divine. He will not mock you. Showing you the way, he'll give you the power to accomplish that way. Your will be done. Your will, know it, be done. Do it. Do it. Thomas Watson has got this quotation. Knowledge is the eye to guide the foot to obedience. It's not just for intellectual knowledge. Now finally, the manner, your will be done. Now notice there's a little explanation of doing God's will on earth. As it is in heaven. Angels. Angels. 10,000 times 10,000, we're told there are. It's 100 million. Plus thousands upon thousands. A lot of angels around. A third of the angels in heaven, it seemed, fell in that great battle. Satan, what's called Lucifer, son of the dawn, beautiful name, rebelled against God, cast down to earth. A third of the angels of heaven fell with him. Demons or fallen angels look to oppose God. They're on the losing side. They're on the losing side. We know the end of the story of the Bible. Jesus Christ has won. He's won. The devil is on extra time. He's on a chain, limited as to what he can do. Stay close to God. Don't mess around in those areas. Now, the elect angels, they're there in heaven. Glory, glory. They behold God. They see the wonder of it all. They're doing his will. They're ministering spirits sent to help those who will inherit salvation, we're told in Hebrews. The angels do the will of God. It's one reason I read Psalm 103. You'll notice towards the end it speaks about the obedience of the angels. Psalm 103 verse 20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. They behold him, they see him as he is, and their obedience is, I've got a few things here, just to name them. Rapidly, they don't hesitate. Fully, they don't hold back. Eagerly, they actually want to do the will of God. Happily, they delight to do his will. Trustingly, they believe it's the right thing. That's how I ought to be doing the will of God. As the angels obey God. Rapidly, fully, eagerly, happily, trustingly. Then I too ought to be looking to do the will of God. And under this section I can pray for my family. Your will be done. I pray for my life. Your will be done. I pray for the church you brought me to be a member of. Now as a pressing thing. Pressing issue, let me hold it before you. Eldership. We do move slowly, slowly, carefully. We want to get things right. Prayer, much prayer is needed. Pray individually, pray in the prayer meeting. What's the right thing in this particular area? Pray, God's will be done. All things, other things, missionaries, the work of the gospel. We pray in this area, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's the first three petitions. We begin with a meditation on God, our Father who art in heaven. Then those three petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. All relating to God. And the next time we look at the last three petitions that relate to our needs, physical and spiritual. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for a brief time in your word. We long for the time when you might descend amongst in such a way that we're held here and the time might rapidly move by and we're lost in wonder, love and praise. But Lord, we're not unthankful for these mercy drops that we felt tonight. God speaking through the word and by the Spirit. Help us to be a people who you can trust with blessing. Lord, we think of the title of that book again. God tells the man who cares. May we be people who really care about God and his glory, his kingdom and his will. Leaders, leaders, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen.